Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, everyone, to Dragon Quest FM, where we talk about and obsess over Dragon Quest. I'm Austin.
I'm BJ.
And this week is actually kind of a long-requested episode where we've had some of our Patreon patrons ask us this before. We get it time to time on social media, and we've been discussing doing an episode on this for, like, the better part of this year. Mm-hmm. And then something would happen, and we'd get some, like, cool DQ news, like the Dragon Quest Monsters game, or an update on Dragon Quest 12, or whatever. And so we would just push this one back. But while things are a little bit slower and Infinity Strash isn't out yet, it seemed like a great time to discuss what to play when you run out of Dragon Quest games, which feels appropriate right now.
Yeah, because we've kind of been in that situation for the last little while of what do we play while we're waiting on something else to come out.
Yeah. Well, you need to go finish Dragon Quest V.
I do. You're right. I need to finish 5 and 6. I started both of them on emulators, actually, the Japanese fan translations, because of the unable to, you know, read Japanese. And I don't like the original DQ5. I'm going to end up having to play the 3D remake of it because it has the like one of the few pet peeves I have with old school JRPGs, where you have to press the button, like you open up the menu and then you have to choose door. Like, I'm fine with choosing talk to people like that, but for some reason when I'm trying to go into doors and I have to, like, go in and say just pressing a button, I have to use a menu to open it. That's always been a pet peeve. And so I'm just like, I can't play this one. And so I'm going to play the 3DS version, or the regular DS version.
Yeah, that makes sense. This has been a growing problem for me personally, because I played, we thankfully got Treasures last year, and I played Treasures a bunch. And then after I finished Treasures, didn't 100% it like I'd planned to, but got pretty dang close. There's just a lot of Treasures. And but yeah, I've kind of been in a place where I'm like, okay, like, I feel in a Dragon Quest mood, but I don't know if I necessarily want to replay one. And I did replay 11 a while back earlier in the year. I think we did an episode about that. But it's just, I don't know, it's not the same as playing like a new Dragon Quest game. And so I get the urge to, like, go out there and start looking for games that are like Dragon Quest. Yeah. Because you want something to fill up your time. And so I thought about this quite a bit, again, because we planned on doing this like earlier in the year. And so I have some picks already that may be the same as yours, maybe totally different. I don't know. But I think the key here is just kind of, for me, like in my picks, it's kind of going with games that both look but also feel like a Dragon Quest game. And I think, right, I think the feeling is sometimes even more important to me, is that they kind of have to have, there can definitely be serious moments. Like, Dragon Quest games have serious moments, but there still has to be like a sense of like whimsy or like a fairy tale aspect. And, you know, Dragon Quest is full of puns and jokes and stuff. And so there has to be a sense of humor related to that. And I wouldn't be like, oh, you like Dragon Quest 11? Play Dark Souls. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there needs to be bright, vibrant games with a sense of humor, right, is kind of what I go to when I think of, like, okay, these are the games I would recommend as being Dragon Quest games. I guess to kind of kick things off for me is, I would say Final Fantasy IX. If you're a Dragon Quest fan and you're looking for a Final Fantasy game to give it a try, and you're like, what game feels most like a Dragon Quest game that's a Final Fantasy game? I would say 9, not just because it's my favorite, but because it's very bright. The characters look a little bit sillier. They don't look all like, they're not these edgy teenagers like you had in 8. Yeah. Or these edgy adults like you had in 7. It's it's like they're, you know, it's a little bit sillier. There's lots of jokes. There's creatures that look like penguins and like hippos. There's a hippo named Hippol. I mean, there is.
And he's delightful.
He is delightful. The mini game where you try to make him exercise is very frustrating at times. But yeah, like there's just lots of cool things. And I feel like that FF9 feels like the most Dragon Quest-y Final Fantasy game for me. Do you feel that way?
Mm, it does. That and actually just playing through Final Fantasy IV actually feels pretty similar in terms of it doesn't take itself too seriously, but it's telling a serious story. And I know I complained about it being like moving from kind of point A to point B without a lot of character in between. But as a game of its time, I've thought more about it as I've been a little distant from it. And it actually is one of those that I feel would be a good simple RPG to jump into after if you're looking for a DQ game, because it deals with some very complicated ideas like you know, how what you do when you don't like agree with your military and you're a part of it and things like that, which is, while it's all around the almost funny idea of dwarves who live under the earth in a subterranean thing, and you go to the moon later, and so it's got those outlandish kinds of things that will happen more in a Dragon Quest game than a lot of the Final Fantasy games, at least lately. And you get the kind of serious narrative, kind of, I don't want to say shoehorned in there, but under the surface there too. Like it's serious but doesn't take itself seriously, which is kind of a hallmark of Dragon Quest as well.
Yeah, I could see that. I also think if you played a game like, if Dragon Quest 3 is your favorite, Dragon Quest 7, right, 6, any of those games that have vocations, 9, I think FF5 is a good one to also check out.
Yeah,
because FF5 is very well known for its job system, and if you love those games and you're like, "Ooh, I want another fun video game that has a job system where I can run around and do things," I think FF5 is a good one to try as well.
Yeah, that one really would be.
Yeah,
especially since, I mean, and it's weird now thinking about people who haven't played 5 because it's actually been in English for 20 years now, but I still think about it as one of them that people haven't gotten to because it's only been in English for a short time. So, but it has been in English for quite a while now. It's probably been in English now longer than it's not been in English before, but it will always not have been in English for me.
Yeah.
It's one that if you haven't gone through, definitely check out. It's again, dealing with some serious issues, but doesn't take itself too seriously.
Yeah, I gotcha. So outside of the Final Fantasy series, what's a pick for you?
One of the ones that I followed up Dragon Quest VIII with, I was looking for that same kind of feel after VIII, and I followed it up with Bravely Default, the first one. It had a really good job system, and I mean, it started life as a Final Fantasy, but it has that cartoony, stylized kind of art to it. It's got a really engaging job system throughout it, and it was just kind of when you talked about the fairy tale aspect of Dragon Quest, it's actually about like there's like a fairy, like the whole subtitle is like Final Fairy or Fighting Fairy or something like that. Like it is actually a fairy tale, and you go through part of it. So I think it was a really good follow up for me to DQ8.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's cool. Kind of going with the fairy tale theme. One of my other ones was Ni No Kuni. The first one, but also, I mean, I really like the second one, even though people didn't like that one as much.
And I don't understand. I like the second one a lot better than the first one.
I also
mainly
enjoy,
because of the combat.
Yeah, I really enjoy the second one better too. Honestly, like there's things that I prefer about the first one still, but I really like the second one better, and would love to see a third one there. But you know, those games like FF9, like Dragon Quest, they're very bright. I mean, Ni No Kuni's made by Level 5, which did 8 and 9. And so it kind of has a similar like anime aesthetic, but also those kind of cel-shaded graphics. And It's very bright. It's very pretty. It's very silly at times. And there's a lot of fun jokes. And in terms of just, if you enjoy Dragon Quest games for its lightheartedness and those kind of puns and sense of humor, I think Ni No Kuni is probably closest on brand to that.
Yeah.
And I think part of that is most likely because Level 5, just as a studio, kind of cut its teeth on Dragon Quest whenever it was still in its early stages. I mean, it made some games before that, but really Dragon Quest 8 is when it really honed in on stuff and then started moving on to more IPs like Rogue Galaxy and Ni No Kuni and Yo-Kai Watch and all these things. And so I feel like, because like Dragon Quest 8 is definitely the most like fairy tale of any of the Dragon Quest games. And that's what I really, one of the things I really like about DQ8 is how much of a fairy tale it is. And this is also a shameless plug for me to say that the newest episode of JRPGs in Me is out and is on Dragon Quest 8. So you can go listen to that. But because I talk about this kind of fairy tale stuff in that episode. But like DQ8 is very fairy tale-ish. And so is especially the first Ni No Kuni game. Feels a little bit more fairy tale-ish than the second one does.
Yeah.
So I think that if you do like those kinds of fairy tale, bright, happy, magical games, that this is something that you could really enjoy.
And the original one actually worked with Studio Ghibli to do the cutscenes and everything along that, right? They actually did animate the cutscenes, whereas the second one is just done in that style.
Correct. Studio Ghibli did the cutscenes for the first one. The second one, though, still has Joe Hayashi, who does the music for a lot of Miyazaki's Studio Ghibli.
Oh, movies. I didn't realize that any of the team was there. I thought that it was basically a complete, not separation, but like they just didn't return for the project.
No. Joe Hayashi still did the music for Ni No Kuni 2.
And that's great. And that's what got me back into JRPGs. Like, you convinced me to play Ni No Kuni 2, and it is so good. And I'm so glad that you did, because that made me start looking into the Dragon Quest games. I actually played Ni No Kuni 2 before I played DQ11, and that got me into the DQ11 thing. So for me, this is backwards. If you're a fan of Ni No Kuni 2, go play DQ11. But also, if you haven't played it, like, they have that very similar feeling to me, even though one's turn-based and one is action combat regarding the second one.
Yeah, for sure. We actually, this is a slight tangent, but we actually started watching all the Studio Ghibli movies with the kids.
Yeah, we did too.
Recently. And we've gone through, and I believe we've watched them all now, even some of the ones that I'd never seen before, like The Cat Returns and some of these others. And it's been a lot of fun watching those. Like, I've watched some like standalone as an adult, but it's way more fun watching them with the kids. And like Miyazaki's final movie comes out later this year. And so Grace and I've been talking about trying to get, take the kids to go see
that'd
be
great
when it's out. We've all had a lot of fun watching these, and I think Spirited Away is probably all their favorites.
Yeah.
But they also like The Secret of Arrietty, I think, is a pretty close second.
We've started watching them. I'd never seen any Studio Ghibli movies until just a few weeks ago. And Fallon got us watching it. Actually, she just put them on one night. And we were watching this YouTube video of this this guy who was making Howl's Moving Castle out of garbage. And like one of those maker videos, and like it was fascinating. And so shortly after that, we're all sitting around. Fallon just put on Spirited Away, because none of us had ever seen it. And he was making one of the sludge monster from it, and just put it on after that too. And we just sat and watched it. And these are the first two I'd ever seen.
Are you talking about No Face?
No Face. For some reason, I could not the sludge monster. You're right. No Face. When he turns into the kind of creepy monster and chases, like attacks once he gets in there. And my brain, I can't remember things. And since I've only seen it once,
I knew that he turns into, when you said sludge monster, it's because the reason you probably think that is because whenever No Face turns like that, it looks like
the sludge venom monster. And sludge. Yeah.
Well, I was thinking it looked like the sludge monster from Fern Gully.
I haven't watched Fern Gully since I was a child. But
well,
yes,
anyway, it looks like the Sludge Monster from that. So when you said Sludge Monster, I was like, oh, you're talking about No Face, because it does look like the Sludge
Monster. No Face, yeah. And not the River Spirit, who came in all grossed up. But yeah. But we really did like those. Like, I really did. Like, I see why people are always go crazy over them. But those are the ones I've seen part of Kiki's Delivery Service now. I haven't finished it. But yeah, they're super cool. So it's funny that I start watching them and y'all start rewatching them around the same time. We haven't even talked to one another about it.
Yeah, yeah. We're done with all of them now. But anyway, all of this was to say that whenever we've been rewatching that with the kids, especially, I've been wanting to go back and play Ni No Kuni 2, because I have replayed the first Ni No Kuni game, but I've never replayed Ni No Kuni 2, just because I spent so much time with it, you know, like I platinumed it at the time. And then when the DLC came out, I went back and played through the DLC. But I've never actually replayed it beginning to end the way I have Ni No Kuni and a lot of other video games. And so as we were watching that, I was like, oh, I need to go try to play Ni No Kuni 2 again sometime.
It is very good. I need to actually finish it. I got to the point where you have to like build the community at one point. And I quit doing the same thing. Like, I quit Xenoblade Chronicles 2 Legend of Torna. Because I didn't want to
Torna the Golden Company.
Torna the Golden Country. I don't know why I said Legend of Torna. That's not a thing. I was like, I knew as I said it was wrong. Like, I knew, but I was like, I'm just gonna let that one go. But appreciate you not. But yeah, Torna, when they got to the community building, it's just not my thing. And for some reason, when that happens in a game, my interest just drags and I haven't gone back.
Yeah, I like town building mechanics in video games. I understand why some people find them tiresome. But like, I really like that. Any kind of, especially like a JRPG that has a town building mechanic, I'm always like, yeah, I'm going to do this.
I like them to a point, but I don't like it when the game stops and it basically walls you until you complete all of these side quests and you can't move forward, because I do them on my own time. And then I get to the point in the main story where it's like, well, you can't go until you finish three more of these, or, you know, it's more than three. It's like six more of these recruitment quests. I'm like, I don't want to do that. I don't like those. And I never went back.
Yeah, I understand. So what's another pick for you?
You have actually have Chrono Trigger on yours. So I actually was thinking the opposite. I mean, I knew that one was obviously there because of Toriyama and all of the stuff, but I've actually been playing Chrono Cross and it's hitting that same thing for me because of how silly it is. Chrono Cross is a lot sillier than the first one. And I have really, really enjoyed going around and recruiting all of these really ridiculous characters like Skelly. And then there's Pip, who's like an escaped experiment, like genetic monster splicing experiment, and just stuff like that. And I have very much been getting that same goofy pun-based vibe off of playing Cross again. And I am super enjoying it.
Yeah. That's cool. I did put Chrono Trigger on there because of, Toriyama did the artwork, Yuji Horii served as like the writer and everything. And it's kind of like if you're looking for, I don't just love Chrono Trigger or anything. I know I'm going to get hate for that, but it's kind of like, okay, if two of the big three folks from Dragon Quest worked on this game, it feels like it at least. Like, it seems like we should at least mention that one, just because, you know, it, like, I don't necessarily, like, I love Dragon Quest, and Chrono Trigger doesn't necessarily do what Dragon Quest games do for me, but, you know, the characters do look very similarly, and there is some kind of sillier, funnier jokes that feel very, very Dragon Quest-y in Chrono Trigger. And so if you're wanting to play a game that looks like Dragon Quest and kind of feels like it at times, I think Chrono Trigger is a viable option if you're looking for that kind of thing, for sure.
Especially if you're looking at, say, DQ6, the original Super Famicom version, because they came out so near one another that the graphics and sprites and everything look so similar. Just the style that they did, that was basically pushing the Super NES and Super Famicom to its limit. And if you like the style of one of those, you will absolutely love playing through the other one for visuals.
I don't know, something about Chrono Trigger's combat. I always hear you and everybody else talking about how good Chrono Trigger's combat is, and I just could never get into it. I don't know what it was, but that was really where the, like, I don't know why it's hard for me to just wholly recommend that game to people who love Dragon Quest, is because I feel like, even more so than Final Fantasy, I feel like the combat in Chrono Trigger just feels so different from Dragon Quest.
And for me, I think I've been thinking about it because I went back and I played a fan sequel to it for a while and realized how overtuned it was. It was pretty good, but it was way overtuned and just didn't want to, you know, grind in something like that. But I realized what the combat is for me. It's the double and triple text that you can do. It's the only way that I have ever really enjoyed the ATB system, because in Final Fantasy games, I just want it to be like Dragon Quest. I just want it to be going through the order based on stats or you know, just being able to take my turn without really feeling pressure to take it, like, you know, the ATB makes you do. And even on weight, it still has, you know, them gaining their turns. And I think the ATB in Chrono Trigger, because it only opens up abilities when you have certain people available, can only use certain abilities if you're making use of the ATB. So if you look at it from a, you're really looking at it from a turn-based perspective on this one, when does this person get their turn and is it worth waiting on, as opposed to just using the whoever gets theirs first, and like the Final Fantasy ATB tends to be. I think that's what I actually like about it, because in Cross you can do the same thing with double and triple text, but you have to have enough stamina built up to do that. So you have to have used them and strategized how you are going to use the triple and double text, the whatever they're called, double text, and get them set up, even though it's a completely different style of combat than DQ. I don't know. That's what it is about the ATB in that one that I actually like, though, because it plays into the combat as opposed to it just, you know, being faster combat.
Yeah. You saying stamina actually reminded me of this, but this past week you've been out of town. We did a rerun last weekend, but I've been trying out this new thing called Magic Mind that you and I have not really had a chance to talk about at all. But anyway, it's like these little shots. I mean, like just a little shot of a drink that you take. It has like caffeine, but then it has a bunch of like healthy ingredients and stuff in it as well for you. And it's supposed to be like for energy and things. But anybody that's been listening to the podcast knows that I've been trying to like exercise a lot more this year.
Yeah.
And like lose all my COVID weight. and which I thankfully have lost, but now I'm like, I'm going to lose all the weight I had before I had kids. And so I'm trying to just, you know, mostly walk, but just get a lot of like exercise and just be more active. And so anyway, I've been trying these this past week, and they're like actually really, really good. They're super tasty.
Oh,
it says that if you keep them in your system for like 10 days, that it like gives you even more energy and helps you stay more focused and things like
that.
So it hasn't been 10 days yet. It hasn't been 10 days yet. But I do kind of feel like it's working. Like I messaged you the other day and I was like, man, why is this day going so slow? Yeah. And I think it's because one of the things is it says it like makes you be more efficient. And like I usually take it right after my coffee. At this point, it has been 6-7 days. And so anyway, like there was one day where I edited like 5 posts at work. Like 5 articles, edited 5 articles. I wrote, recorded, edited, published an episode of JRPGs and Me and all this stuff. And it was like, it only been like 3 hours into my day. And I was like, BJ, this day is going so slow.
It was the same thing for me. I had just been dragging that day too. I don't know. I think time actually slowed down that day.
But I really like these. And so they remind me, they kind of taste like, you know, that hibiscus drink. This doesn't have hibiscus in it, but you know, that hibiscus drink I love at Yellow Deli.
So
that I would always get. Yeah. It's so good. Anyway, it kind of tastes like that. And so it has that kind of flowery, it has like agave nectar and stuff in it. And it's
I used to put agave nectar in my tea. I love it.
I know. And this has like matcha in it. And it reminded me of when we used to work together and drink like the matcha tea with agave nectar and things in it. Yeah. Anyway, it's really tasty. And at first you look at it and it's a green drink. And so I know a lot of people are like, ugh, green. And I'm that way too, but I'm also like, hey, I'm always up for trying new things. And it's like, it's really tasty. And I really do think it's been helping me stay more focused. And so I'm interested to like, just keep trying it and everything. I did want to mention that and just also say that for you, because I haven't had a chance to tell you about it or anybody listening, the folks over there, super nice. Also sent us a cool code that you can use or anybody listening can use. You can go to magicmind.com/dragonquest and you can get up to 56% off your 56. Subscription. Yeah. And for the next 30 days, you can use the code DragonQuest20 and you can also save up to 20% on a first time order if you just want to do an order and don't want to sign up for a subscription.
I just want to taste the yummy hibiscus drink. Good. Like that's what I want. Like I love that. I love the hibiscus and drinks. Floral kind of drink.
Yeah, definitely try it. So anyway, it's easy to remember. Magicmind.com/dragonquest. The code is dragonquest20. Definitely go check it out, you, anybody else listening, because it's super tasty and I really like it. And we're gonna next week I'll give an update on just how fast I'm talking and up to speed I am and like the million things I've done during the day before that. Cause I do think it's made me be more efficient. The downside to that, of course, is that now I'm like, I do like a whole day's work in like 3 hours. And then I'm like, what else am I supposed to do?
What do I do now?
Well, let's play more Dragon Quest. It's that's really cool. I need to try that because I've just started running again. And so I need to be able to definitely motivate myself.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of like playing more Dragon Quest games and or games like Dragon Quest with all this free time I'm going to have. So Chrono Trigger was yours. I know I have one more left. Do you have any
no,
more?
And I actually wanted to talk to you about your last one a little bit. So go right ahead.
Cool. So for my final one, it's Blue Dragon, which fantastic game, originally released on the 360. Also, while I'm being so shameless about JRPGs and me, this is also an episode of that podcast you can listen to. We covered it on here at one point. I believe we did a standalone episode talking about Blue Dragon 2. Fantastic game. One of my favorite games from that era. One of my favorite games on 360. Just super great game. The reason it's on my list is it's made by Mistwalker, which is Hironobu Sakaguchi after he left Final Fantasy and Square and all this, started this company. The designs and everything are from Akira Toriyama. So all the characters look very much like Dragon Quest, Dragon Ball kind of characters. Like you look at it, you look at it and you just know it's a Toriyama game. I mean, you can just tell. And so it looks very similar to that, but also just it's a little bit wackier, the things that are going on in it. Instead of slimes, there are poo snakes, which are little snakes that look like poo emojis, which I'm not sure works quite as well as like the blue slime in Dragon Quest is just so iconic. And
It's iconic, man, but it's not made out of duty.
And like these like pink poo snakes just don't quite...
Like they're cold poo snakes, right? Like you and I talked about this. Yeah. And it's like they're actually poo snakes. It's not like you're just saying like, oh, these look like poo. It's like, no, they are poo snakes.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, they're just poo snakes. Yeah.
And I love it. Like I want to play Blue Dragon. This is one that I haven't been able to find a copy of. And so one of my friends goes around yard sales and she works on by finding good deals and selling a lot of stuff and video games that she gets at good deals at yard sales and things like that. And at second overstock stores, everything and pallet stores. And so one of the things that I've got her looking for is Blue Dragon. If she ever notices it and finds it in one of her stacks, then I'm going to get it for the 360, which is also the problem.
It must have really skyrocketed in price, like even during the like big like bubble of like COVID game collecting and stuff. I felt like Blue Dragon was never very expensive.
When I looked for it, there was something that kept me from buying it when I was looking for it. And so I was thinking it was price, but it may not have been. But I grabbed the, and the reason I wanted to talk to you about it was because I grabbed the DS games, the Blue Dragon DS games. I think it's Blue Dragon Plus and Blue Dragon Awakening, maybe were their titles. And I was wondering if you ever played those.
I have one of them. I have Blue Dragon Plus, which I bought and toyed around with, but never got super far into and beat, unless I'm misremembering. I played it during the... I have this period in my life where I had newborn twins, and there's like, seriously, there's like a good year or 2 years there where like I would be talking to family or my wife or whatever, and I just don't remember because I was so sleep deprived. We had Naomi, who was barely a year old, and then we had these newborn preemie twins to take care of on top of Naomi, and life was just so crazy then, and I don't remember. There's so many gaps in my memory from that time period. And I know it's because of how sleep deprived I was.
Right.
And like this isn't a bit, like really, I was just so sleep deprived. And I have Blue Dragon Plus and I don't remember beating it. I remember playing it though. And then there's like Shadows Awakened or Awakened Shadows or something like that.
Yeah, something
I can't remember.
Like that.
That's like a sequel. Now that one is stupidly expensive now. That may be what you're thinking of.
It may be.
But you said you had that one already, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that one's like crazy expensive.
And so I haven't played them, and I was curious, is it the same gameplay style as the one on 360, or did they do the thing that was fairly common at the time and actually make it a little bit, like remake the engine and into something else, rather than doing like a port or something like that?
So I have not actually played Shadows Awaken, which I'm pretty sure is what that one's called. But anyway, I have not done that one to know. Blue Dragon Plus is more like, I guess the best comparison I know is like, you remember Final Fantasy XII, and then Final Fantasy XII came out with Revenant Wings.
Revenant Wings,
On the DS. You know the differences in gameplay that those two games had?
Oh, yeah.
Where like Revenant
Wings. I think Revenant Wings was a turn-based strategy game.
It's almost like Tactics. It's not quite Tactics. It's not quite FF Tactics, but it's not FF 12 combat either. That's how I would kind of categorize Blue Dragon and Blue Dragon Plus. Blue Dragon, like 360 Blue Dragon, which is the one I'm recommending, is turn-based, and you have cool shadows that you can use that give you special moves and stuff, and just it's a weird, wacky little game that looks and feels a lot like a Dragon Quest game at times. I mean, I know that Yuji Horii had nothing to do with it, but honestly, Blue Dragon feels more like a Dragon Quest game than Chrono Trigger does.
Yeah, I can absolutely see it. It's along the lines of being that level of silly where Chrono Trigger ends up being a much more serious take on from the genre.
Like Chrono Trigger feels more Final Fantasy to me, and Blue Dragon feels more Dragon Quest.
Yeah, I can see that.
Is how I would probably describe it, for sure.
And it's sad that it's only on the 360. Like, they've not done anything else. You can't get it in any other way. And
You can do it, as long as you have an Xbox. If you have a Series X, you can play it right now on your Series X.
Oh, is that a Game Pass thing, or can you get it digitally?
I don't know if it's on Game Pass, but you can get it digitally and you can play it no problem.
Oh, I don't have that, so I didn't know that. Yeah. I really thought the only way that you could still get it was a physical disc from the 360.
I don't have a Series X or anything, but I remember back whenever I did an episode on Blue Dragon, that people, whenever I posted about how I'd done that episode, people were talking about how they had played it on, where they're playing it on their Series X and how nice it was and everything.
Yeah.
I'm Googling it right now. It doesn't look like Blue Dragon is on Game Pass that I can find.
Womp.
But I think part of that is, Sakaguchi has said, like, those Mistwalker games from that era, like, he said he's not interested in doing, like, remasters and re-releases, which I think is really sad, because you have Blue Dragon, you have Lost Odyssey, you have Last Story, which was Wii instead of 360. But still, Mistwalker put out a lot of great games during that time period, and it's just like... I appreciate the mentality of always wanting to create new things rather than like relying on nostalgia and just constant re-releases of the same game.
Yeah.
But also I'm like, it's been a long time, and I would love to see this come to other systems and more people can play it. I could play it easier. I mean, I replayed Blue Dragon recently, like within the last year, and dragged out my whole 360 and everything and replayed it and enjoyed it. I'm thinking about dragging out my 360 again now, because now that I've beaten FF16, I am wanting to replay the entire FF13 trilogy. I don't really know why, because I didn't particularly love those games when they were new, but I think it's because it's the few FF games I've never replayed, and it's been a long time now since I've played them, and so I want to try them out again. But yeah,
I recommend the Steam version with the frame rate unlimiter mod. Now that you've got a PC that you've played games on, I suggest that, because it is much prettier than going back and playing PS3 games on a current television. That you can put it on high res textures and then break the frame rate limiter with a mod. It's like, it was really like adding like two files in there. It was nothing.
But I'd rather play on my TV though.
I know, and but it's so much prettier.
I don't know. Blue Dragon looked really pretty. I used the HDMI for the, did the 360. It? Yeah, I plugged it into my TV.
Because the PS3 games I've played on the PS5 have not looked very good at all.
I have not played any like native PS3 games like on the PS3 on my TV.
Yeah, I haven't put it in the PS3. I was playing them through the PS Plus, downloading them and playing them that way.
I always feel like they look a little worse, though, when you do that. Like, games that I've played on PS5 like that, from that era, I feel like they have looked a little worse. Yeah, just personally. I have no science to back it up. But also, like, I mean, I like games to look pretty, but I mean, I'm not one of those people that's like, I've got to max out all this stuff and make it look the prettiest.
Oh, no, absolutely.
And so I think for me, it's more the convenience of, okay, I own all these games on 360 already. I have a 360 that works. I can plug it up to a TV, which I'd rather play on. And so I'll just do it that way.
I get it.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I think that's really it for me. So we have, if you've ran out of Dragon Quest games to play, like I have, and like BJ is almost about to be, then I guess those are our recommendations. We have FF9, Chrono Trigger, Blue Dragon, Ni No Kuni 1 or 2, and there's another one that you said that I can...
Chrono Cross and Bravely Default.
Bravely Default, that was the one, Chrono Cross, yes. There's some good variety, and I guess before we leave today, I do want to say, just if you've never played any of these games we've talked about and you do love Dragon Quest, like, you do have to kind of temper your expectations a little bit, because I feel like, not to sound corny or anything, but I feel like that none of these games exactly... They're not Dragon Quest. Like, don't play any of these games thinking that they are Dragon Quest. So, like, if Dragon Quest is your favorite series, like it is mine, then you, like, don't play this game and expect that you're going to have, like, a Dragon Quest game. But you might find a game that you love as much as a Dragon Quest game. Like,
it's true.
Like, Final Fantasy IX, the Ni No Kuni games, like, I would definitely count those as being games that I love just as much as I love Dragon Quest games.
And for me, the Chrono Trigger and Chrono Cross are like that as well. I'll always hold them, have a special place in my heart for them. And I mean, and if you're really wanting to, and nothing but Dragon Quest will sate you on this, you can always go buy Japanese versions of the DQ Monsters remakes and or DQ Joker 3 or Rocket Slime 3 and hack your 3DS and apply the fan translation patches to them. Going a little bit out of your way for them, but if you are hankering for more Dragon Quest after Dragon Quest and none of these hit it, maybe one of those will.
Thank you guys for listening to this week's episode. Remember, if you want to talk to us directly, you can find us on Twitter at DragonQuestFM. You can also help support this podcast and chat with us over at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM. And just a shout out to all of our patrons. We really appreciate and love all of you.
We do. You can find me on Twitter, but now it's X, at Professor Beej. I don't think I'm going to be there for very long. I also started being on Threads and Instagram a lot more at Professor Beej. And like you said, Patreon at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM.
Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Bye, y'all.